Good evening. You should have sold tickets. Would you turn with me again to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts? Chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." Over to Acts chapter 9, please. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might recover his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." The Lord said unto him, "Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest recover thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." We started to look at these two revelations this morning. The first in Acts chapter 7, where the God of glory appeared to Abraham. The second, where the Lord Jesus, risen and ascended and glorified, appeared to the Apostle Paul. This morning we noticed that the God of glory that Abraham saw has been revealed to us through Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 1, we saw the God of glory in heaven. Isaiah chapter 6, we saw the God of glory on the earth. And in Exodus chapter 33 and Psalm 24, we saw the glory of God in his dealings with man. And this was the God that appeared unto Abraham while he was in Ur of Chaldees. We noticed this morning that Abraham, because of this encounter with the God of glory, left what he had, left Ur of Chaldees, left a central spot in the civilization at that day and age, the Big Apple, if you would, and went into a strange country as a sojourner. He also left his kindred. We saw that he dwelt for the rest of his life in tents, not willing to go to the cities built by man, but looking for a city that had a foundation, a sure foundation. Foundation that other scriptures tell us is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock which the builders had disallowed, and whose builder and maker of the city was God. Jade Nicholson gave us an interesting exhortation when he was here. He said, don't drive your tent pegs in too deep. You know, sometimes it might be good to have gotten to the point where we're no longer dwelling in the city, but we become lax about the fact that we are in a tent, that we are willing to move at God's command. One of the things we noticed or talked about this morning was that the tent did not really have anything to do with the quality of the house. Some of those Middle Eastern tents are probably very lavish. But it was a matter of the fact that Abraham never established any roots. He sojourned. He was a pilgrim. He stayed that way. And so we leave Abraham as a stranger, as a pilgrim, as a dweller in tents, and we come to this day and age. And there's many exhortations for you and I. I'd like to look at four of them briefly. The first being in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Paul makes the point here that we are children of Abraham. We noted this morning that God called Abraham out of the nations, out from among the Gentiles. He called Abraham away, and he promised him that he was going to make him a nation. And that nation was to remain separated, called out. Remain set apart to God himself. And here, the Apostle Paul would seem to continue that statement on sanctification by telling us that if we are of faith, then we are children of Abraham also. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and sojourners, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Another exhortation, this time from Peter, to be strangers, to be pilgrims, to be sojourners, just like Abraham. Children of Abraham, act like Abraham. Travel in this world as in a strange country. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul again in another exhortation. We are not to live after the flesh. Again, strangers, sojourners. We looked over to Hebrews 11 this morning and saw that Moses esteemed chose to suffer affliction for the children of Israel, counting the reproach of Christ better than the pleasures of sin for a season. He was looking at a reward, and in view of that reward, being with God in glory, the reproach of Christ, all the shame and all the dishonor that was heaped upon him seemed better to Moses in light of the reward than the best that the world could offer. And Paul tells the Romans here, you're not to live after the flesh, you're to live by faith. You're to live by the Spirit. The last one is in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Again, the exhortation, a peculiar people. Stand out. Be different. Be a stranger to this world. Don't drive your tent peg in too deep. Don't become a part of the things that this world has to offer for just a season. But in view of the reward, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. In view of the reward, suffer the reproach of Christ. We are called children of Abraham by faith. We've been called out of the world. We've been called out of kindred. You remember the Lord Jesus says you have to leave all in order to follow me. I have to take the place of preeminence in your life if you are going to go on. And so we have in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts a revelation that calls for sanctification. that calls for being set apart, that calls us to live as strangers, as pilgrims, as sojourners. But now, we turn over to the 9th chapter of Acts, and we look at the second revelation. We mentioned this morning that both of these steps were necessary in the lives of believers. God called Moses out of the nation. He called him away to be a peculiar people. And here in chapter 9, God sends one from that nation back. The revelation that Paul received was one that was so overwhelming that it totally changed the life of Paul. The Lord told Ananias something rather unusual. He said, I'm going to show Paul, before he even gets started, all the things he's going to have to suffer for my sake. You know, sometimes we sit down after a rather tough struggle at something, and we think if we'd known before we started how much it would have cost, we wouldn't have gotten involved. And yet Paul went into this call of service with his eyes wide open. God revealed to him the things that he must suffer. And yet knowing that, because of the vision, because of the revelation of the Lord of glory, Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I wonder how often we get a grip on who it is that called us. How often we let it slip from our minds, the person that one time appeared to call us. Remember the church in Ephesus, its problems? It left its first love. It's not something that's impossible to happen. The whole church left its first love. And today, the question I need to ask myself is, have I lost sight of who it was that called me? He appeared to Paul. He showed him all things he had to do, and Paul went ahead and did them. Because of who it was that called him. This was a call, a revelation, that was a call for service. Chapter 7, sanctification. Chapter 9, service. You know, if I'm not set apart, God can't use me. Paul was a leader in the nation of Israel when he was on his way to Damascus. But it was absolutely impossible for God to use him. Until Paul was sanctified, until Paul was set apart, until Paul became a pilgrim, he could not be used by God. Sanctification must come before service. But now in chapter 9, we have this revelation to Paul, the risen man that's in the glory, appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus. And Paul was never the same. In each of the, or in the last three of the scriptures that we read, in Romans and in Titus and in Peter, hand in hand with each call for sanctification, it was tied together with service. Submission to our testimony. Ananias was told of the Lord, I've chosen Paul to take my name back to the Gentiles, to take my name to kings, to take my name to the sons of Israel. 2,000 years earlier, God called Abraham out. Now he's sending Paul back with the message of his name. The gospel message to the Gentile, to kings, to the nation of Israel. He tells Ananias that not only is he called, and not only has he chosen Paul, or that he has chosen Paul himself. Paul was chosen of God. That's a rather high calling, don't you think? The God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God that existed before all else, chose Paul. That probably, you would think, would make Paul feel pretty good, huh? Special? Different? I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures concerning that. The first being in Ephesians chapter 1. Keep in the back of your mind as we look at these scriptures, the God of glory that we looked at this morning. First in Ezekiel, the God of glory in heaven. Then in Isaiah, the God of glory in this world. Throughout creation, his glory being manifested. And then in the way that he has dealt with man. Keep that in the back of your mind. This is the one that chose Paul. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read it, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, not just Paul, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, set apart, sanctified, and without blame, a good testimony before men and before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Paul special because he was chosen? You and I have been chosen by the same God. 2,000 years later, the same God that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus has chosen us. John 13, John's Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 10. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, So ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of all of you all. I know whom I have chosen. Turn over to the 15th chapter. John 15, and verse 16, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Strangers, pilgrims, sojourners, but chosen of God. Chosen by the same God that appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus. Chosen by the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham. Chosen for service to bear fruit. What a privilege is ours as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to serve the one who set the example of being a servant. Called to serve the God of the universe to bring forth fruit that shall remain. But Paul wasn't just chosen. He was a chosen vessel. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sanctification. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, there still remains the possibility of being a vessel in the great house to dishonor. A vessel that can't be used. A vessel that is dirty. A vessel that is broken. A vessel, for whatever the reason, cannot be used. But Paul exhorts Timothy to study the word and to purge himself. And in doing so, setting himself apart as a vessel not only chosen, but fit for the Master's use. Paul mentions over and over again in his writings that it's not the powerful, it's not the fancy, it's not the strong, it's not the wise that God chooses to use. It's the weak. It's the feeble. And these things are principles that God has established. He uses the weak and the feeble to confound the strong and the wise. It's not a matter of what type of vessel I am. It's whether the vessel has been purged, cleansed, whether the vessel is fit, whether the vessel is of any use to the Master. Tremendous contrast here, because the same frail fleshly body can either be used of the Master, the Sovereign Master, the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham to honor, or it can be cast away to dishonor. The exhortation to you and I is to study the Word, to purge ourselves, to be empty, to be clean, to be fit for whatever the Master chooses to use us. Chosen of God, a vessel of God. The third thing that Paul was a bearer of his name. Paul was to bear the name of the God of glory back to the Gentiles, back to kings, back to the sons of Israel. God used another man on a different occasion. The story is in the first chapter of the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men, through him, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John was a man sent from God. Can you imagine, can you picture, can you choose any higher calling than to be someone that has been sent by God, the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham? Sent by God to bear witness, to bear testimony of the light. Now those that believe become the sons of God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. We have an exhortation to those who believe. Not only are we sent from God to bear witness of the light, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sent from God, a vessel that is fit for the Master's use, to bear testimony, to bear light in this world. By doing so, you and I, as those who were once alienated from God by wicked works, as you and I who were once so filthy that our best works were as filthy rags, you and I can actually accomplish something that brings glory to God. The Lord Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't keep your light from shining forth. Paul told the Corinthians that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that when it is displayed, that when it is brought forth, the power will be known to be of God and not of ourselves. He can take each and every one of us as earthen vessels, empty, clean, and fit, and use us to demonstrate the power of the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham. But it doesn't come without cost. Remember, he appeared unto Paul and told him of the things that he would suffer. Moses suffered affliction looking at the reward. I think perhaps at times we get our eye off of the reward. We lose sight of the fact that we are going to spend an eternity in his very presence. We lose sight of the fact that one day we'll be able to kneel at his feet and cast before him the golden crown that he has bestowed upon us. I think we lose sight of the fact that one day we are going to spend an eternal day in his presence. Abraham was human, and at times he lost sight. He ended up back in Egypt every time. And I think sometimes you and I tend to lose sight, take our eyes off of the reward that lies ahead of us. Paul saw a glimpse on that road to Damascus. And despite all that he had to suffer, he was a faithful steward of the message that was committed to him. You and I have been called by the same God. He's chosen us. He's given us the same opportunity to serve him. We have to be so careful not to lose sight, not to forget the recompense. The other thing Abraham did was he kept his eye out for a city. Are we looking for the city? Or are we content where we are? Even if we're in a tent, if we're not looking, if we're not searching, we can get very settled and very comfortable where we are. Abraham was looking for a city. You and I have a hope that we're to be looking for. You and I have a reward that we should be looking for. You and I have a tremendous day that lies in front of us. And by keeping our eye on the prize at the end of the field, it can keep us set apart and meet for the Master's use. We're going to suffer, though. Peter tells us in chapter 4 of his first epistle that even as Christ suffered, you're going to suffer also. But when you suffer, don't lose sight of the reward. What exhortations these can be to you and I. Perhaps vessels of clay, wood, not vessels of gold and silver, but vessels that can be sanctified, clean, and fit. There has to be some decisions on our part. God has promised to help, but there has to be actions as well from us. We have to decide. Paul told Timothy, purge yourself. If a man purge himself, it must be something that I am willing to do. Peter says, you will suffer. Paul says, remember those that are suffering. And even if you're not suffering, suffer with those that are. Because they're part of the body. Don't forget. It's going to cost, but this is something that we cannot get lost in. It's so easy to get enveloped in the sufferings of the moment. It's so easy to get our eyes off of him and on the waves like Peter did. Moses, with his eye on the reward, chose to suffer. First, we have a revelation that calls us to be set apart. Then we have a revelation that calls us to serve us. And then we have an exhortation not to lose sight of who it was that was revealed to us. Don't take your eyes off of the man in the glory. Don't take your eyes off of the one that's gone before. Don't take your eyes off the one who set the example. And look for the hope that we have of that reward, regardless of the circumstance. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Emptied, that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power, but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Father, we thank thee for the privilege, the high and holy privilege, which is ours, called, chosen, vessels that have been set apart for thy use. We pray, Father, that thou would keep us, hedge us about, give us the strength and the courage to choose to purge ourselves, to follow thee, to be willing to be emptied, to be filled by thee, to be willing to be clean, to suffer in order to be used of thee. And Father, we thank thee for the hope which is ours, the reward that we have to look forward to, of one day soon spending an eternity in thy presence. Father, we thank thee most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us, for all that he is going to do for us in a soon coming day. And it's in his name we pray, the worthy and precious name of our soon coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.